Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
College sports is a multi-billion dollar enterprise, and the NCAA, the organization that writes the rules, just made some big changes. Actually, some small changes, too. Schools can now provide reasonable entertainment at events or practice. The board of directors obviously finding it unreasonable that previously schools could provide bagels but not cream cheese. I kid you not. But what other rules are being overhauled and why? Brad Wolverton covers the NCAA for the Chronicle of Higher Education. So, Brad, the bagel rule is a silly rule, but it did exist.
Well, the bagel rule's toast, as they say, and I think what's important to understand there is that these were a lot of nitpicking rules. The NCAA rule book was over 400 pages long, and their goal here is to reduce it by about half.
Well, and previously the thinking had been do as much as you can to try to level the playing ground between the big, wealthier schools and the smaller schools. And is this an admission that that didn't work?
It essentially is an admission that, you know, as Jim Barker, the president of Clemson University, who sort of spearheaded this effort to shrink the rule book, has said, the playing field is not and has never been and never will be level. And so this is sort of an admission of that. And the goal here is to just sort of acknowledge that there are programs that are going to spend $150 million a year on sports, and then there's some at the very bottom of Division I that are going to spend like $5 million, and that essentially you can't make rules just based on the fact that some people have different size budgets.
Yeah. So here's one of the changes. Previously, schools had to hire somebody who was a coach or an assistant coach to do some of the recruiting. Now they don't. You know, they can hire just about anybody. In that case, though, wouldn't a wealthy school hire 100 people, low-paid recruiting people, as opposed to previously when they had to hire, you know, coaches, actual coaches? Won't they just have a huge recruiting office that will only do that? And won't that give them an unbelievable leg up on schools that can't do that?
It's possible, yes. I mean, a lot of these schools that have a lot of money might hire more people, and they might allow them to have even greater advantages. I think what you're going to see is this continued chasm in Division I, and then you're going to see more debate about whether these rules are actually going to work. In fact, these were adopted by the Division I Board of Directors, but it doesn't mean that they're all going to be officially put into place in August when they're supposedly going to go into place, just because there may be a pushback here.
What about money going to the kids? We understand in one case they could get $300 more for incidental expenses, and that was supposed to take away some of the paperwork, I think, of getting them some of that money. But talk to us more about stipends.
Well, there's a couple different issues here. There's a stipend, which has been sort of tabled, and I think by later this year we're going to see if schools will be allowed to give up to $2,000 more toward the cost of attending college to their student-athletes. There are ways through these changes that they've just adopted for students to get more money, particularly medical expenses and things like that. So it gives schools the ability to pay more to help students out. But the bigger question about whether student-athletes will receive sort of a cash stipend every year is still up in the air.
Well, and there's been a lot of push for this. People like Joe Nocera, the New York Times columnist, Taylor Branch, the writer, are thinking, why aren't students getting more of the money that's going to the schools?
Well, there's a really slippery slope, and people in college sports are concerned that if you start giving them a little more money and it sounds like it's cash, then you're going to sort of open up the possibility that athletes will be paid and it will become less of an amateur enterprise, which is what the NCAA has long held fast to. So I'm not sure that you're going to see that change. I think the main push here is for need-based money to go to students who need it, and that's what people hope to see.
We'll link people to the actual rule changes, but just tell us, having gotten rid of the bagels, what is something that they want to tighten up on? So where do they want the focus to be?
Well, they want the focus to be on big problems that might exist on campus, like paying money to players or having third parties running money to kids. And so the NCAA has really beefed up its enforcement staff to make sure that they're outworking the football and the basketball worlds where some of these shady things happen. And so they want to focus there, and they want to focus less on the sort of mundane stuff. The next phase, we'll see financial aid and agents and some of the bigger issues. The first steps here were sort of baby steps, but I think we're going to see significant change in the coming months.
Brad Wolverton of the Chronicle of Higher Education, thanks as always.
Thank you.
Okay, up next, important news about about the inauguration. Something about President Obama's policy? Oh no, the Times of London is reporting that Beyonce lip-synced the Star Spangled Banner. As a colleague said, false goddess. Actually, the Marine Band says that's standard procedure. And Michelle Obama seems to be remaining firmly on her pedestal in the fashion world. We'll have that story in 30 seconds here and now.